Caucasian counterparts. You see downtown in brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown! Muffled sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out impalas and cherried out mini trucks as the cat calls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara streets, and beautiful Latinos strut by on 16 in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifix hanging from the rear mirror. The town when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone. Downtown, downtown when you're brown on a Friday night is no place to be, because SJPD will pull you over for being downtown and brown and for no other reason. And you will find yourself at the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by four police cruisers, while two bigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a third one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you, oh shit, look out downtown, but somewhere someone's getting arrested for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting beat to a pulp by Billy Clubs in a back alley for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting shot for being brown in downtown. And everywhere, 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 Brazos going down for being brown in downtown.
And welcome to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Civil rights over the air and hopefully onto the streets. 3.5 hours coming at you. We're going to go until 1:30 here on 96.3 FM. That's what you're tuned to. Call-in number, if you want to join us, is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're your radio station. We want you to be here, just as we're hoping that you're listening to us there, so we can actually get some community connections across this great smiling wasteland that we're in the midst of, where folks don't talk to each other, spend their time working desperately 2-3 jobs to pay rent, and all the while our national government bombs, 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 and threatens to extend the war more broadly, creating more and more homeless, which is what this show is about. Homelessness, civil rights for poor people, those issues. 427-3772 is the number to call in. I'm your host, Robert Norse. I'll be with you, as I say, for quite a while, so help me break up the time by becoming a part of this discussion. Lots of interesting items to fill the time. Coming up at City Council on Tuesday night, day after tomorrow, is actually in the afternoon, the promised correction of the section of the camping ordinance that the council screwed up 2 weeks ago by criminalizing yards and business parking lots and limiting the amount of time Good Samaritans could let homeless people sleep in them for up to 3 days per calendar month. That restriction is scheduled to be removed on motion by Crone, Riley, and Porter. and lest you get too excited and commending and congratulating these folks, should have been removed when it was originally proposed. They chose not to believe us. At the second council meeting, they still refused to remove it. But here they are, coming through on a commitment, which is, to me, quite a concept for this city council. But again, I wish it were on a real issue rather than one which simply puts us back to the status quo. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello? It looks like that was a call off the air. If you want to reach me off the air, you should leave a message at 423-4833, or you can wait till I'm playing a taped segment, and that should be coming up pretty quick. We're going to be playing some actually stirring words by our mayor, Christopher Crone, when he wasn't mayor. In fact, when he hadn't been in office for more than 3 or 4 months, probably that was the reason they were stirring words, because he hadn't yet hooked into the debilitating connections with staff and politicians that have essentially rendered him, neutered him, and rendered him useless for the last 2.5 years on significant issues, 3.5 years actually, ranging from rent control to community control of police to even the war. Crone can't seem to get it together to issue a resolution against the bombing. And I'm going to be reading Dennis Kucinich's great speech on that issue, which I learned about on the internet and then heard the next day read on Talk About. I believe it was on Talk About on KZSC, the student station up on the hill. It's on the far left end of the dial. Would that it were on the left end of the political spectrum as well, in a significant way locally, but they're pretty much all nestled in comfortably with the progressive office holders, which is really too bad. So the first thing that we are going to be looking at here, or I'm going to be playing for you, is the interesting presentation that Christopher Crone made back in 1999 as Catherine Byers as mayor and Tim Fitzmaurice as her second-in-command were destroying the campaign to end the sleeping ban by essentially burying it without any kind of apology or discussion at a hearing, series of hearings that was supposed to be real reform and an elimination of the sleeping ban, maybe the setting up of places to legal campgrounds, what with the new council majority that came in 1998 in November. Instead, Byers unilaterally decided to bury everything because she didn't like the lack of consensus, which means she couldn't get her West Side friends and Marty Wormhout to support this particular measure. And some of the diehard bigots in the neighborhood associations. And I have to put a man that I like in that category in terms of his comments on this issue, Don Hubbard of the Harvey West Residential Association, other individuals who are part of the Neighborhood Association. I have to call them bigoted, and that's what they are. They're expressing bigoted views on homeless matters, suggestions that the problems in a neighborhood can be and should be toted up to the homeless people who happen to be around there without any significant evidence to that effect, throwing suspicion that letting people sleep in vehicles may lead to child molesting. This is a form of, to me, it's hate speech as well as being bigotry. I wouldn't ban it, but I think we got to characterize it and label it for what it is. And that's what we got back there in 1999. And at that time, we got Christopher Crone full of optimism talking about what he was going to do, even though Catherine Byers was putting the kibosh, and she's coming back, by the way, I believe, as a council candidate, so watch out, on any real reform, even though she had the majority. And, of course, now Crone's the mayor, and Crone has the majority. He won't even bring up these issues. And one of the reasons I'm going to be playing this segment back in March of 1999 is to give you some indication of how Crone has changed, how, in essence, pathetic he has become on these issues. Even though he goes up to posture at a homeless summit in San Francisco, here in Santa Cruz, he is unwilling to bring up the resolution that he himself authored back in December of 1998, a month after he came into office, that sleeping is a human right. He just won't advocate for that position. He babbles, there isn't political capital. He says, we've discussed that issue before. He said there isn't the votes on the council. Well, it's time for him to stand up and advocate for that issue even if he hasn't got the votes on the council because it's an issue of principle. Instead of playing these games and wasting everyone's time and exhausting us with little public relations exercises that benefit Kennedy and Premack and Porter but don't go to the real issues, this latest, you can camp for 2 weeks in the parks with less than 15 people in those three parks that they allow, if and only if you get the okay from Jim Lang and you meet eight strenuous, I would say impossible to meet conditions for anyone who isn't well hooked up with a nonprofit in a group that is very hard to organize. There's only one such group I know of that exists. That's the Santa Cruz Service Corps. And I'm glad that they have a potential opening there, though it doesn't really help them either in the way that they were, that they really need to be helped. They were a much larger group. They actually were much more economically viable when they were larger in terms of the amount of services they could provide and the help that they could put out to the community in exchange for real wages and also living space. We've had these PR gestures by Kennedy and Premack. Premack's running for supervisor, as you know. He won the runoff, or actually should say he and Wormhout beat out my choice, Michael Schmidt, mainly my choice for Schmidt because he was a pro-homeless civil rights person. Porter refusing to make good on his commitment to the Green Party to end the sleeping ban and bring it up. It was as he solemnly promised to do. Interesting email by David Silva, now in Watsonville, who led a long campaign against the sleeping ban by doing a lot of personal fasting and organizing fasters a couple of years ago. He has denounced Porter and demanded that the Green Party push for a recall. I only wish he were also, of course, we also need to recall Fitzmaurice, who's an actual Green Party member who actually shows up and chairs Green Party meetings and blocks resolutions about homelessness at the Green Party and things of that sort. So what we have coming up at City Council in 2 days in the afternoon session is a proposal to strike the three-day restriction to only 3 days per month from business parking lots and yards, which returns the situation to where it was 3 years ago and actually where it's been until John Barrasoni announced several months ago that that was not the case, that everyone has a right to sleep in a person's yard if that person gives her or him permission for as long as she or he wants, provided it's not violating other laws or producing other problems. There never was a three-day limit on yards, nor was there a three-day limit on business parking lots for sleeping in vehicles, though there was a two-vehicle limit. And these are all minor points because they don't in any way serve the 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people, most of whom sleep illegally on public property. I mean, while there are some good Samaritans who will let in one or two people they know occasionally, that in no way really addresses the issue of the great majority of homeless people who can't be handled in that way. You need to have campgrounds, you need to have self-run encampments like Camp Paradise, and those things don't exist. We heard last time from Larry Templeton that Camp Paradise still exists, but I told him it isn't really Camp Paradise. It is a private, hidden encampment which people cannot join and which doesn't really serve as a beacon to anybody because it's not accessible. You know, Camp Paradise is not set up publicly and is not doing the kind of standing up for at least the homeless rights of the people in the encampment that it was doing. Instead, it is, you know, it has expanded services somewhat for about 15 or 20 or 25 people in terms of the Santa Cruz Service Corps, which is good, but it is not in any way what it was, and it is no longer really a Camp Paradise, as far as I'm concerned. And that's too bad. I'd like to see it set up again, but given the fact that it is now working, you know, to try to get a legal place to be in the parks for a limited period of time for only 15 people, it's going to be playing these please the city council, please Jim Lang games. It's not going to be engaging in activist work. Not that Larry Templeton did too much activist work or his camp while they were illegal. I mean, they did to survive themselves And I'm glad that they did. I think they should have survived. I was there supporting their right to survive. And if they come out again, I'll continue to support their right to survive. But I think it's an illusion to believe that Camp Paradise is a bunch of activists who want to go out there and help the broader homeless community. Indeed, there's far too much friction between the broader homeless community and Camp Paradise folks for my taste. I don't like it. When it happens, I realize that folks who are outside looking in on the former Camp Paradise, now the Santa Cruz Service Corps folks, are concerned that some folks seem to be getting special privileges or special attention, and I pointed out, well, you would too if you actually got together, banded together in a group, got community support. And that's true. I hate to hear Larry Templeton dissing other homeless people as drunks and drug users and all his critics as being that, because they're not. And hopefully that kind of dialogue will become more reasoned and temperate and inclusive on all sides. And I'm speaking about it a bit more candidly because I think we need to be candid about these things. On the whole, I think Camp Paradise is a good thing, has been a good thing, was a good thing. And the remnants of Camp Paradise are still a promise for the future. And I think they deserve some support, but we all can also use correction and criticism. And hey, criticism is my middle name. So you too can criticize, though. We have phone lines open at 427-3772. Before I begin this segment of, as I've said, Christopher Crone in his better, brighter, younger days, before he was subverted, corrupted, and suborned by the city council's staff and politicians and general scene, you get to hear some of his brighter days. I'm going to play some of that now. Give you a moment or two in case anybody wants to call in with any thoughts or comments on anything I've been saying. We're also going to be talking about HUF doings, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the local organization I'm with. HUF is organizing for our own little homeless summit, and that we'll be talking about later, as well as going to get together a core group to begin the kinds of direct actions on the streets, tent cities, downtown demonstrations that we've often talked about and sometimes have begun, but have never reached the point of critical mass. And what we need, of course, is to see if there are enough people to do it to the extent that it actually continues in such a way that it cannot be ignored and has to be addressed, the way civil rights struggles across the country in the 50s, 60s, and 70s produced, and 80s produced strong and positive results. And of course, that's happened in other countries as well. Rather ambitious, perhaps rather grandiose, who knows? But bringing it up here again on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. I'm also going to be giving you some updates, more some background from updates from Isla Vista encampment. That's down in Santa Barbara. Again, a kind of a Camp Paradise type encampment, though it's not clean and sober per se. It's more just a homeless encampment of people surviving, and as they're adults, they do use alcohol, and who knows, some of them may be smoking grass, and there may be some people who are using harder drugs. I don't know, as people in homes do, folks. And if it doesn't interfere with their relations with each other, it's their own damn business. Keep that in mind. That's the reality of it. Unfortunately, when you're a homeless person, you live in a goldfish bowl. That's the reality of it, too. We're also going to be queuing up some more of that David Boush, a fine activist in Los Angeles, who's engaging in civil rights struggles down there as a lone homeless person, essentially dealing with every bigoted restaurant, museum, and police officer that comes his way. It's amazing, and he's quite articulate about it. We've had interviews with him on two shows. We're going to be continuing to play those interviews today. There's also, as I mentioned, a fine speech by Dennis Kucinich, representative from Ohio, which I'm going to be reading, and some other stuff from the internet on the war, yes folks, the war that the United States is conducting, and that the Santa Cruz City Council and Santa Cruz peace activists, well, I don't want to say they're ignoring it. The council certainly is ignoring it. The peace activists are out there on Friday with their signs, but the Santa Cruz community does seem to be ignoring it. Instead, there's this brouhaha about a peace park. Thank you very much. You know, we need peace more than we need a peace park, I got to tell you. And while I've got no problem with a peace park, I frankly, I'd rather see the money spent on a peace bridge, a pedestrian bridge over Highway 1 that homeless people and others could use to go back and forth so they don't get busted by cops or possibly become a traffic hazard if they're not cautious, because that's an area there is no bridge on, and a peace bridge would make a lot more sense to me. Rather than having middle-class people sit around and ponder the nature of war, you could have everybody being able to use a bridge that, to some large extent, because of the connection between Denny's and the other all-night restaurants on Ocean Street and the Homeless Services Center, where there is no connection other than the Highway 1 bridge, where you get, what is it? Is it $162 tickets, or is it more? It's up there if you walk across that bridge. You don't, or to avoid that, you have to walk, what, 2 miles around, a mile and a half around to the Water Street Bridge, or swim the river. I suppose that's a possibility. I guess we could start a ferry service there on the banks of the beautiful San Lorenzo. Paradise ferry service, perhaps? I don't know. So I think the whole Peace Park issue is much overblown. I heard lots of jingoistic, hostile rhetoric from KSCO conservatives about how it's so horrible and we're in the midst of a patriotic war. We should be supporting our boys in danger up there as they fly, what, 20,000 feet above the land, bombing the hell out of the Afghanis, or and then venture onto the ground and have suffered their first casualties. It's really hard for me to be sympathetic with these foreign war expeditions and regard these as our boys. You know, I have problems with that, and I know that there are going to be people who disagree with me. These are, you know, U.S. citizens out there, you know, or, you know, individuals who volunteered for the military who are fighting. Fighting what is the question for me, you know. It's this broad-based excuse for Bush to maintain more power and expand the military machine while actually aggravating the whole situation around the terrorist response by Islamic extremists. And this creates more homeless people, this creates less resources for homeless here at home. It's very, very bad, and it's something that isn't being addressed in Santa Cruz. Instead, we get the Peace Park, and we get a bunch of politicians packing around Crone and other people at the city council as though this were some huge issue. Well, the real issue is what's happening nationally and also how we respect the civil rights of our own people here in Santa Cruz. That's what the issue is to me. And that issue is not being addressed. If you have some thoughts on this, of course, you can give me a call. 427-3772 is the number to call in on. The whole Sentinel's editorial page, or much of it, and its columns are taken up with the Peace Park. Pro and con. The Peace Park, the Peace Park, the Peace Park. I called in to KSCO yesterday. I listened to some of the trash that was going on there. They were, Michael Zwirling and his radio station was on a rant. He was cutting off anybody who disagreed with him and letting those who wanted to rage about this park and how it subverted our boys and their will to bomb over in Afghanistan going on and on and on. I actually sent him a fax, which he didn't read, and probably the reason he read it was I informed him I wanted him to read all of it or none of it. I'm going to read that fax in a moment, but looks like we have a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert.
Yo.
Hey, did you hear those knuckle draggers on KSCO all that yesterday?
You know, we've been talking about that on the air. Can you hear our radio show?
Yes, I had it on. You mentioned it.
Yes.
You talked about it all of 30 seconds.
Oh, no, I was actually about to read the facts that I sent to KSCO.
Oh, okay. But which was thrown into the dustbin, or...?
I think it was probably recycled immediately, yeah.
Hey, you know, you were talking about kind of like veterans. You bought into, you know, people who go off and fight those the rich people's wars for them.
Right.
Don't they ever wake up after the fact that they've been used and abused down the road? I mean, they don't even get good... they have to fight for everything they get. Per medical, they're denied with the Gulf War illness. They're told that it's just a figment of their imagination.
Yep, they're Agent Orange to death, and then told it isn't really Agent Orange. It's some other problem that they should go talk about their to someone else. Yeah.
When do people ever wake up, Robert?
Well, when they get together, I think is when they wake up. One of the reasons it's hard to wake up is that people are so isolated, and they're taught to regard their problems as individual problems that they have to take individual responsibility for that it really have nothing to do with the conditions that they're living in and the things that the government imposed on them. And while I do think it's important to be responsible for what you do, I think it's also important to look at the realities. You know, it's Santa Cruz has a more liberal veterans scene than most. And maybe we should do is get a veteran in the studio to talk about the current war. I mean, there's a lot of anti-war veterans around.
Okay, good.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of these anti-war veterans are also, you know, big boosters of the local progressive establishment here, which hasn't established much that's progressive and doesn't want to really address the issues, particularly right now when we're, what, 7-8 months into this war?
Yeah.
6 months, 5 months, I don't know.
But you heard news yesterday, supposedly in the papers, they want to make nicer, smaller, more compact nuclear missiles to take around the world to those seven evil countries.
The axis of evil, man.
Yeah, did you hear that?
No, but I believe it.
Absolute knuckle-draggers.
Hmm.
And the people just go along with it. They're speaking out. Thea Benjamin, you know what interesting last night, I couldn't believe it, Thea Benjamin was allowed on the KGO, that disinformation station, for all of, like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes tops. But the truth is kind of filtering out even through a KGO station. Strange.
Well, it's hard to get out. I didn't even bother to try to call into KSCO yesterday because...
No, that's such a repulsive health station.
Well, I used to, you know, Zwirling, and I used to have more respect for the head of that station than I do now.
Me too.
You know, he actually had some shows about homelessness where he let real homeless people on the air, but now...
He did?
Yeah. That was back in around 1990, 1989. Part of his motivation, I think, was to embarrass the city council that he hated with a passion from the right, as I hated it from the left. At least that's my interpretation. But, you know, now you can't get in there. You know, they'll do a little interview trashing you on the phone. That's what they had yesterday. They had this, the person who was in favor of the Peace Park, which, again, I regard as a bogus issue that's being used to mobilize progressives and isn't really related to peace at all. It's sort of a... You know, it's a token gesture. Yeah, I mean, it's a token gesture. I mean, the same people who are doing that are supporting, you know, $1.5 million restoration of the Poganip Clubhouse, for God's sake.
That's special.
You know, I mean, I'll read this letter on the air. You can tell me what you think.
Thank you.
The facts that wasn't done.
Yeah, this is the facts I sent to the KSCO radio station. The debate was about the Peace Park and how inappropriate it was and how... How these traitors and CEOs like Dick, pretty ignorant rhetoric in my view. I mean, Rand and I had our differences, but, you know, he had strong principles, and he was working, I believe he was working for peace nationally. I think he had much less commitment to civil rights locally, in fact, virtually nil, in terms of, you know, he had political associations with people like Scott Kennedy that eventually did him in, you know, you know, that tore apart the Resource Center for Nonviolence, Kennedy bringing in the police and the drug watch in the neighborhoods and Eric Larson and these other plans down there. But, you know, Doug Rand threw me out of meetings, not for being disruptive, just because he didn't want me in his meetings. He had decided I was not going to be in his meetings. I hadn't even said a word. And it was an issue of... you saw people going along with this kind of Stalinist mentality of, you know, not having open meetings. It was really depressing. But nonetheless, Rand worked very hard and long to expose the Kennedy-Rotkin machinations in the Beach Flats, the attempt to essentially Canfieldize the Beach Flats, turn it over to Charlie Canfield and do these new developments, the Third Street realignment, the commercial developments, and so forth, that would have displaced many, many people. Now, of course, the Dolphin Lee Project is doing something similar on a smaller scale, and unfortunately the same people who oppose the beach south of Laurel are supporting that, many of them, some of them reluctantly, like Fred Geiger, but still supporting it, as far as I know. So Rand isn't, you know, I mean, he worked real hard, and I've got good things to say about him, and some critical things too. But just to regard him as some kind of a coward, COs are not cowards. You know, you read about how COs deal with, they go into prison and they desegregate jails as they did in World War II. They stand up against illegitimate power as they did during the Vietnam War, or the Iraqi adventure, or you know whatever you know, or when Carter reinstituted the draft in 1979-80. I got to admit, you know, I'm on that side of the line. I can understand how some people would see them as cowards. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that's just ignorant thinking. Anyway, KSCO had a lot of that. I sent them this fax after they cut off Sue Powell, who hasn't returned any of my calls. Sue, get on the line on that issue. I've got some problems with Sue as her as a person who's an activist who doesn't seem terribly concerned about Camp Paradise folks and standing up on that issue with other what I call enviro-fascists. But on this issue, you know, she was trying to support the Peace Park, and after about 15 or 30 seconds, she was cut off by host Michael Zwirling after other people had been allowed to rant on for 5 minutes. So I sent this fax that said, please read all this fax or none of it, Michael. This looks like a stacked dialogue. Why don't you have the pro-Peace Park people in the studio? And what this meant was the only opposition they had to this massive attack on the Peace Park was one person on the phone line that they occasionally let talk, who sort of had as sort of a resource, but he wasn't in the studio and he couldn't speak up and respond to items in a kind of a direct way. It was a completely, as I said, stacked deck, stacked dialogue. They did the same thing KSCO did a month and a half ago on homelessness when I was trashed and the issue of they called it homelessness, but they were actually attacking demonstrations downtown against the yuppification of hippie planter, the making of yuppie planter, the fencing of yuppie planter, which is of course now a done deal. And I was trashed for half an hour by name. They invited me to call in, but you know, I told them what I wanted to do was I wanted to have some time on the air to reply to this. And of course, I got promises from Zwirling and he never called me back. Continuing this letter that I sent him yesterday in the midst of the Peace Park discussion, why don't you have the pro-Peace Park people in the studio? You did the same thing, failing to invite both sides on an equal footing when you trashed homeless civil rights and me personally a month and a half ago. I find appropriation for a peace park a bit ironic when the Crone City Council won't even bring up a resolution to oppose Bush's bombs away war against the world policy. Still, your KSCO Bush Uber Ali's fans who support bouncing the rubble in Afghanistan apparently don't mind giving the Pentagon a blank check, so I wonder about their financial reservations locally. On the other hand, I also think that a pedestrian peace bridge near Highway 1 that would allow folks to walk across the river without being harassed by police or posing a traffic hazard would probably be a better use of the $93,000 slated for the Peace Park. Or perhaps a peace village, the long-needed homeless encampment that would actually provide cheap shelter for the 1 to 2,000 homeless that we have here. Forget about Afghanistan. The people that face fines just trying to survive outside. Still, I wonder if you're guests so concerned about finances oppose the city spending $1.5 million to spruce up the Poganip Clubhouse or support the absurd $7 million cost overrun for the police department. I bet they do. Or I bet they haven't spoken out against it. And that letter was not, for some reason, read on KSCO. It was a rather long one, I suppose. Length might prove a bar. There was a letter from Mumia activist John Teelking read. It was very short. I timed this. You promised Sue 60 seconds of airtime, then you gave the caller just after her 90 seconds, and then you gave even more time to the caller after that. You, sir, are undoubtedly biased. Or you might say, a liar. And a person who can't keep a commitment. That can happen when you're blinded by false patriotism, and that's what a lot of this is, false patriotism. Well, let's get some real patriotism going here. You can call in all you real patriots, and even those who think you're real patriots, and I may disagree with you on that, give me a call, 427-3772. Talk about the impact of the war on poor people, the impact of laws against the homeless on poor people, or anything else you think that's come up that's related to that. And now what I'm going to do is turn to the March 23rd, 1999 council meeting, 3 years ago, when our current mayor, Christopher Crone, was expressing some ideals that I would really like him to remember. Maybe I should give him a call at home and suggest he listen in. I think I'll do that. You listen in, too.
I'm not sure where to begin. I hope people, again, I haven't tried not to speak that much tonight because I wanted to say something at this point and take some time. I first just want to say how much I appreciate Catherine and Keith Sugar for serving on the task force with me. And I think I learned a great deal about this issue, and there's not a lot of easy solutions, but I do feel from this experience we are going forward. I want to also thank all the community members who came to these meetings and waited out the process with us. I went back in my files and I've been looking through the numerous letters that I received, and I just wanted to call people's attention one more time to some of the issues that our recommendations don't necessarily address, and some of the voices that are out there of most of the people who didn't come to any of these meetings but did write us, and I know have been following this whole debate, and I think most of the people's names people will recognize up here on the council. Tom Noddy, who's a downtown resident, wrote, "I believe that my neighbors have a legitimate concern in the matter of having people sleeping in front of our homes. I would join in discouraging the council from providing a new right to disregard state trespass laws as a solution to this problem." He goes on to write, "Despite the fact that the people most immediately affected pay a smaller percentage of city, state, and federal taxes, the concept of American representational democracy suggests that you represent them equally. Ours is not a government that is meant to represent only those taxed. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. The homeless may not pay equal taxes, but none can deny that they are at least equally governed." Richard Kuchel, a dentist on Water Street, writes, "The camping ban is again an example of the city's lack of funding to meet its commitment to the homeless people. Currently, we herd everybody together and hope it works." Emily Riley, who lives on Upper Laurel Street, writes, "I think we have an emergency here, and I would like to see you take immediate steps to protect all of our residents by allowing people to bundle up, lie down, and sleep in non-residential, non-business areas. Forbidding people to bundle up and lie down in business and residential areas, and 3, instructing the police to tell people who do that they must move to a non-residential, non-business area. Sure, people deserve to sleep, but the thing is, they must sleep and they will sleep. If we don't give people a place where they can sleep, they will sleep. Right now, they are sleeping around homes and businesses, so many are scared that if you relax the ban, things will get worse.